Christ.
It's good to be at a family and a friend service just to share by way of testimony. And it's always good to be in a church where, well, nobody really knows you. Because sometimes maybe people think you're getting at somebody or something, but it's good that I'm here tonight and it's good that you're here too. Maybe if you turn with me to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56. This is a psalm that I always share when I'm giving a word of testimony. And it is a psalm that is indeed close to my heart. And the word of God says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Just a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you that you are the eternal God. And Father, I pray that you would come to each of us tonight. Because, Lord, you know us from the inside out. And Father, I thank you for a word of testimony that you have given unto me. And I pray by your grace that you would strengthen me to be able to give that of the good things that God has done. May the Spirit of the living God glorify the Son of God in our midst. And Father, we know that you will be praised and glorified in him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, indeed, this is a great psalm because the psalmist cries for mercy. And the psalmist here speaks of his enemies and times when he was afraid. And all of these things do not defeat him because he trusts in his God and he praises his word. And dear friends, when he does this, he does not fear what man can do unto him. But instead, he continues to praise on his God. He remembers indeed that it was the Lord that saved him. And that he was the only one that could keep him from falling. You notice in the first four verses that David contrasts his enemies with his faithful God. In verses 5 to 11, he expresses that he's being watched by his enemies and his God. And finally, in the last two verses, he praises his God and he waits for deliverance from his enemies. And dear friends, that for many of us can be a summing up of our lives. Because we're all here tonight because God has created us. We're all here tonight and we've all got enemies. especially if you're a child of God tonight. But it's wonderful to be here tonight, to be able to give a word of testimony. As I always say, dear friends, when I give a word of testimony, that this is not the testimony of Keith Wilson. Because, dear friends, if I was to give you the testimony of Keith Wilson, dear friends, not too many would listen. But indeed, this is a testimony of what God has done in my life. And it's a testimony of how God has saved me by his grace. It's a testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary. It's a testimony of how, by faith in him, that I've been saved from my sin. Didn't Paul say that it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me? And dear friends, tonight I'm going to be as honest as I can. Because I believe sometimes when we give a word of testimony that we're tempted to say that everything is rosy in the garden. Since we've got saved, we've had complete victory, we've had complete confidence in God, and we've had complete success in our Christian lives. But really, dear friends, if we're honest, if we're here and we're saved tonight, and we're honest with you, if you're not saved, the Christian life is a battle. But dear friends, we don't look at the battle. We look at the one who has overcome the battle. And we have faith in God who has overcome. And dear friends, the difference between a person who is saved and a person that is unsaved is not the battle, because the battle is there whether you're saved or not. But the difference, dear friend, is where your faith is. And dear friends, in the battle of life, and even in the battle of a Christian life, I have found my faith rooted firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And time again, he has given me victory in that battle. Time and time again, I have proved God. And dear friends, I'm here to tell you exactly how that has happened. I've not always experienced the victory, indeed the confidence, of the success of our Christian lives. But indeed, I have found, dear friends, many temptations. I have found many trials, and I have found many discouragements increasing since the day that I got saved. Indeed, I have discovered my own thorns in the flesh, and in them, I have discovered, like Paul did, that God's grace is sufficient for me. Well, dear friends, I grew up in, as your pastor said, I grew up in Lisburn. I was born into a non-Christian home. And indeed, I say that, but from an early age, I heard the gospel. And dear friends, my parents were far from Christian people. My parents were loving parents. My parents indeed loved us very, very much. There was never any mental or physical or any other sort of abuse in our family. My parents were very loving people indeed. But dear friends, God's hand was upon me from an early, early age. And I can remember hearing the gospel. My parents indeed didn't have an easy marriage. And you know, my parents both drank from a youngish age. And when I say a young age and their young married life, at that stage, of course, they were not really deeply involved with alcohol, but indeed they would have drank even then quite a bit. And the older I got, the more I saw them both drink. My dad smoked cigarettes, and indeed I remember one night when my father was up in the attic. I remember being down in the hallway and the landing, and my father passed me down a butt, and he said, "Keith, put that down the toilet." And I can remember taking that butt of that cigarette, and I put it to my mouth. But I put the butt round the wrong way, and I burnt my whole mouth. And here I was with these blisters, and I remember thinking to myself, even at that young age, that your shin will indeed find you out. But you know, isn't there something really true in that? And I've learned that even as I've become a parent myself, that, well, dear friends, our children follow example from their parents. But my parents, indeed, they did fight a lot, and I remember them fighting most nights growing up. Without exaggeration, they would have fought maybe to 2 and 3 in the morning. But I was able to learn from my parents that when you have two strong-willed people, no matter what you say to them, you'll never change their mind. Something I was later to find out with both of my parents. But my father, however, did take an interest in us. My father used to get us up early in the morning, and he used to take us to the local park with a football. And I think he had some high aspirations. My father grew up in the house opposite George Best, and I think he thought that maybe one of his boys would have become George Best, but he soon realised that I had 2 left feet. But my mother and father, they didn't go to church that often. And indeed, any church that they did go to, it was to a church that didn't preach the gospel. They would have maybe went at Christmas times or at weddings or at Easter or funerals. Really, I suppose you could say, like most people in our province tonight. But you know, my mother knew the gospel from an early age. My mother knew from her Sunday school days that she needed to be saved. My mother knew that she was a sinner. My mother knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross for her sins. But my father, on the other hand, he didn't know. My father had never understood what the gospel was. My father never understood who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And my father was really not knowledgeable about the things of God. I say this because all this was about to change in our family. I remember one night my parents were fighting. And dear friends, I remember my mother in tears. She took us away to Groomsport. My grandparents had a caravan in Groomsport. And we went to Groomsport in the early hours of the morning. While we were in Groomsport, there was a knock on our door. Just on the Saturday morning, on the morning after my mother had taken us to Groomsport. And this knock, of course, came at a crucial time because my mum and dad were, as I say, fighting. And we were taken away. My father had spent the night drinking and smoking cigarettes. But to cut a long story short, dear friends, it was the Jehovah's Witnesses. And my father, I was able to learn, was in a desperate, desperate state. My father didn't know the gospel. My father didn't know the truth of the Word of God. Yes, because he wasn't taught it, but also, dear friends, because he didn't read it. And dear friends, the Jehovah's Witnesses had indeed promised him that they would sort out his family, that they would make him happy again, and that they were the answer to his problems. And dear friends, again, to cut a long story short, my father was ripe for the taking. My mother, of course, because of her Sunday school days, even though not a Christian, she knew that they were not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say that, dear friends, you're having a children's mission this week. Don't underestimate a child and what God can do in a child's life. Because, dear friends, God took me as a child. At the same time that my father had converted to Jehovah's Witnesses, a church had opened up at the top of our street that preached the gospel. And dear friends, before I give you my testimony, I just want to say, as you can imagine, the Jehovah's Witnesses converting my father, my mother and father having such a horrible marriage, and that is true, because both of them said. And this was to put an even greater strain on their marriage. And indeed, this, not immediately, but would eventually lead to divorce. And it would eventually lead to my mother hitting the bottle harder than what she ever did. I can remember my mother from an early age. My mother's a very emotional woman. And I remember my mother as far back as I can remember. She used to look me in the eye. She used to say, "Keith, I love you." And my mum had it difficult. And dear friends, even today, tonight, my mother has it difficult. It is my prayer that the Lord will come and the Lord will open both of their eyes. But dear friends, this knock on the door that was to come was from the church at the top of the hill. And it was an independent Methodist church. And dear friends, there was a couple of old ladies inviting the children to the Sunday school. I'm sure you've done an outreach maybe this past week inviting children to your youth meetings. Well, the Lord invited us to a Sunday school. And dear friends, I remember going to the Sunday school. And dear friends, I remember my Sunday school teacher telling me that we needed to be saved. Telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross for me. Telling me that I was a sinner. And telling me that God loved me. And I remember sitting in that little Sunday school room with the tears rolling down my face. And I said, "I want to be saved." And I was a young boy of 12 years old. And dear help, my Sunday school teacher, maybe she didn't come across this before. I'm sure she didn't, because the church had only opened maybe 3 or 4 years. But I remember her taking me into the manse. Our pastor had just been called at that time, just maybe a year or so before. And I remember going into the manse with the tears rolling down my face. And he says, "What can I do?" I says, "I want to be saved." And you know, he led me as gently as he could. And he knew the circumstance of my family. He says, "Well, Keith, you're going to have to ask the Lord to save you." And that's what I did. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And dear friends, that's when I discovered a battle. That's when I discovered a war. And you can imagine coming down one parent on the road to alcoholism and one parent going off to the Jehovah's Witnesses. And can I say that my father had went from a man who didn't know this book, from a man who didn't know the gospel, he went to a man that in 6 months he thought he knew the answer to everything. And that's not an exaggeration. I remember many years later, my father had said something to me that had stumped me. And I remember saying to my dad, "Oh, you know everything, don't you?" He looked me in the eyes and he said, "Everything." And that night, even though the Lord had saved me, I knew that my father was in a cult. And dear friends, I remember my mother going back again to when my father had converted to being a Jehovah's Witness. And if anybody knows anything about the Jehovah's Witnesses, they put great strain on to convert their family. And then when their family don't convert, they then shun their family. And dear friends, worse than that, even if your family do convert, or if you convert yourself and you become a Jehovah's Witness, dear friends, if you leave the Jehovah's Witness religion, every Jehovah's Witness then overnight shuns you. Even the friends that maybe you've built up over 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, just overnight, because the Watchtower Society, the society that leads the Jehovah's Witnesses, tells them to shun you. But as I said, my mother, of course, had heard the gospel, and my mother indeed knew the truth, even though she never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into her life. But she did agree with my father that the boys and my sister, I have an older brother and a younger sister, would not be brought up in this religion. But they did agree that my father could teach us right from wrong, like the Ten Commandments, sex before marriage, honor your mother and your father. And dear friends, my father indeed did do this. But I remember my father secretly giving us a book one night, and it was a wee blue book, and it was called Questions Young People Ask. And dear friends, it was a book, I believe it's not in circulation because the Jehovah's Witnesses are always changing their doctrines. But at that time, this was questions that young people would ask. And you know what one of the questions was? Who is Jesus Christ? I remember the answer that came back. Jesus Christ is the archangel Michael, created by Jehovah God. I remember my mother getting that book, flinging it across the room, and telling my father, "You will never, ever discuss Jehovah's Witness doctrine with my children again." And that is a testimony of a woman who didn't know Jesus Christ. But she loved us. And dear friends, she kept us from going down such a path. Dear friends, didn't John say that in the beginning was the Word? The Word was with God. The Word was God. Didn't Paul tell the Philippian believers that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Didn't he tell the Colossian believers that all things were created by him? Didn't Thomas cry out, "My Lord and my God"? Dear friends, where the Jehovah's Witnesses get mixed up is this. They get mixed up that God humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. They can't understand how he became man. And you see, we worship a Savior, the man Christ Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. But dear friends, God had saved me after that there, and I related to how that happened. And you know, to hear that the Lord had died for me, and to hear that the Lord was my Saviour, and to hear that the Lord would be the one who would help me, to be the one that would bless me, to be the one that would encourage me, to be the one that would strengthen me, were all things that I needed for my life. Dear friends, the Word of God says that those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And dear friends, I thought if I was to study up on the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that's exactly what I did. I remember at that young age, you know, reading about things about the Jehovah's Witnesses and doing things that maybe children didn't really do. And that was unique to my life. Maybe other children were doing other things, but this was an interest to me. But dear friends, I was to learn like any other cult. When you get down to the crux of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is, I mean, he is my Saviour. He is my friend. He is my Lord. And dear friends, he is my God. But my father had indeed entered into this religion that deny his deity, that deny his bodily resurrection. Do you know that Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the Lord Jesus Christ is dead and dead forever? Could you imagine? A dead Saviour. He was raised in the spirit, but his body was disposed of by who they say is Jehovah God. They deny the deity of the Holy Ghost because they deny the Trinity. And they say that the Holy Ghost is just a force like electricity. It's God's instrument, but it isn't God himself. What does the very first verse of the Bible say? The Spirit of God moved. Dear friends, I remember saying to my father, well, do you believe that God is a spirit? Oh, yes, I do. Do you believe that God is holy? Oh, yes, I do. Do you believe that God is the Holy Spirit? No, I don't. So there are two Holy Spirits. Jehovah's Witnesses also deny the existence of hell. They deny their followers from celebrating Christmas. They deny their followers from celebrating birthdays. They refuse blood transfusions. They believe that only 144,000 are going to go to heaven. And everyone else, get this, everyone else belongs to the second resurrection, which will be a resurrection to the earth. My father believes he is part of that second resurrection. Well, dear friends, my Bible tells me that those that are involved in the second resurrection are lost, and they're heading for the lake of fire. Such is the manipulation of this religion. But dear friends, I can truthfully say that through every battle that I've had, and through every discouragement that I've had, and through every lack of confidence that I had, because dear friends, I must say this, I would not have even imagined standing up speaking to anybody. When I say I had a self-confidence of zero, I mean I had self-confidence of zero. Because, dear friends, I came home to a family, yes, who loved me. But, dear friends, there was so much trouble and turmoil in our family that I really felt that I was on my own. And I felt worthless. But I knew that God was with me. I knew that God had saved me as a child. And I knew by reading the Word of God, because, dear friends, that's what I began to do. It wasn't just to go to Sunday school or to go to church and to read it on a Sunday, but it was to read it and to study it. And I was to find that the Lord was the one who said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And, dear friends, I became very isolated within myself. And this is when I learnt like David in the psalm that we read in Psalm 56, to trust in God and not to fear man. I mean, that's easy to say. I could say to you tonight, no matter what circumstance you're in, whether it be health, whether it be financial troubles, whether it be family troubles, whatever it be, trust in God. That's a very, very easy thing to say. But dear friends, I found when I began to do it that the Lord drew close to me. The Lord gave me promises, and he says, what I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Well, dear friends, as I said, my mother and father eventually ended up in divorce. My mother indeed did become an alcoholic, although my mother is very, very sympathetic towards the gospel. But as yet, because I believe because my God is great. I believe that all things are possible. I believe that God, if he can take a child from a, and don't misunderstand me, but if he can take a child from a housing executive estate, and he can save him by his grace, why can't he save a Jehovah's Witness? Why can't he save an alcoholic? And dear friends, God is able, and God is able even to bring somebody into your youth meeting this week. But God wants you to pray for them. And God wants you to get behind them. And God wants you to love them. God wants you to encourage them. God wants you to care for them. And dear friends, that is exactly where I found myself. But I know time is gone, but I remember leaving my father's flat late at night. I went to Dundee for 4 years and I studied business studies, but I came back and, dear friends, I had plans of what I wanted to do. I had plans of getting married, I had plans of getting a job, and I had plans really of what Keith wanted to do. But, you know, I found myself isolated and I lived on my own for maybe 12 years. And I remember my father leaving my father's flat late at night after maybe discussing Jehovah's Witness doctrine to 3 a.m. I remember the Lord saying to me, salvation is off the Lord. You cannot convince him. And dear friends, I remember God speaking to me specifically one night, and I said, okay, Lord, I'll not try. I'll leave it with you. And as the Lord opens doors, and he does open doors, the Lord has enabled me at the right time to speak to my father. But I would have come home and maybe hitting the answer phone and my mother in tears, drunk, in desperate state. And I remember, dear friends, as I say, my confidence getting lower and lower and lower. And I remember the Lord teaching me that he, and that he alone was my hope. That he and he alone is the one that saved me. That he and he alone is my rock. That he and he alone is my confidence. That he and he alone is my friend. And that he alone is my salvation. That's the God that I serve. God didn't promise me when he saved me that all would be rosy. But he did promise me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. And you know, the Lord did many things for me that, dear friends, time just would not allow me to tell. But I'll tell you this. You take a boy with very little confidence. I never thought I'd be married. I remember the Lord opening a door for me in every home crusade. And I knew Paul and Stephen Roberts from every home crusade. But dear friends, my wife-to-be had worked in every home crusade a few years before me. And the Lord led me to a good wife. I remember praying, Lord, I don't want to marry if I'm going to end up like my mother and my father. And dear friends, the Lord did the opposite for me. And the Lord gave me a good wife. And the Lord has blessed me with two wonderful boys. And the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, wherever you are in this meeting tonight, as I say, I know Paul and I know Stephen. But dear friends, I don't know you. But I know that God loves you. I know that God cares for you. I know that the Lord wants to save you tonight if you're lost in sin. And he's not promised an easy path, but he's promised that he'll be with you. And he's promised you a future with him in heaven. And to think that one day that I, a sinner saved by grace, will look upon the face of the Master. Not a dead Savior, but a living Christ. And I will walk in the streets of gold, all because of what Christ did for me on the cross at Calvary. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you to your pastor. And may God bless you. Get behind the children's mission. See a child, one for Christ.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed, Keith, for that word of testimony.
We see the plan and providence of God in Keith being here tonight as we step out on a week of gospel mission amongst the children. And if we are honest, if we had met a young lad like Keith on the doors in the home that he was brought up on, we might just have went on by. No hope there, no interest there. But aren't you glad that tonight we have a God who's greater, mightier than us? And we pray that what the Lord did in Keith's young life, saved out of a difficult home, God will do in the lives of children this week. That's our prayer, that's our aim. Thank you sincerely, Keith, for coming tonight. We're going to bring our meeting to a close by just reading a few verses from Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, and just going to read the first five verses. Before we bring our meeting to a close tonight, our meeting is almost over. But just a verse that the Lord laid on my heart, not the verse I had intended to look at tonight, but a verse that came to me just last night. Jonah chapter 3, and the verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. That little phrase at the beginning of verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. This third chapter of Jonah marks a very clear change, not only in the life of Jonah, but most especially in the lives of the people of Nineveh. The people of that great city that Jonah was commanded to preach unto. As we come into this chapter, we see something of the power and the might of our God. God had come again to Jonah. You know the story, I'm sure, very well. How God had commanded him in chapter 1 to go and preach. Jonah ran from the will of God in his life. But yet God was patient and God was good. And God brought him back. And again Jonah came and the word of God came to him in chapter 3 the second time. And the command was, go and preach to that great city, Nineveh. But for the moments that remain tonight, and as we say, we will only be but for a few moments, I want us to consider not so much the life of Jonah, although there are many lessons for us there. I want us just briefly tonight to see the response of the people of that great city, Nineveh, to how they responded to the preaching of the Word of God. And as the Lord laid this verse on my heart, very definitely, very clearly last night, I couldn't help but think of the parallel of our own city here of Belfast, a city which has been blessed with the preaching of the gospel, and yet a city that tonight, like Nineveh, is exceeding great in its wickedness and evil, a city that is far from God. Yet it pleased the Lord through the preaching of his word to do a great thing in that city of Nineveh. And as we seek to evangelize and as we seek to do what we can to preach the gospel in this city, may the Lord do in our city what he did in Nineveh. As we consider these opening words of verse of chapter number 3, and we consider especially the response of the people here to the gospel, I want you to see first of all with me the word that they heard. The word that they heard. In the opening words of verse 1, we see that the word that Jonah was to preach to the people, it was a divine word. Notice the term, Jonah chapter 3 in the verse 1, and the word of the Lord. You see, the message that Jonah was to preach unto that people, that sinful, that wicked people, was a word from God. And that, of course, is what we preach unto you tonight. We're not here to tell you what we think. We're not here to tell you what this church believes or what any individual in this church believes. We're here tonight to tell you and to preach to you the Word of God. That is why it is a word that needs to be heard, and that is why it is a word that needs to be heeded. You see, it matters not what man thinks. It matters not what man says. If what I have to say to you every week were my own words, my own thinking, well then you would be well within your right to dismiss it and disregard it and pass it off of no relevance and significance. But folks, by the help of God and by the grace of God in our lives, we seek to preach to you week after week the Word of God. The very words of God, and that's why you need to take note and that's why you need to listen. Because if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, you will not be judged on your response to what you think of this preacher or what you think of anything that he has to say. When you stand before Almighty God on that great day of judgment, you will be judged alone by your response to the Word of God. This word that the people heard in Jonah's day, the people of Nineveh, they heard the word of God. It was a divine word, but it was also a damning word. Because the Lord was sent, or Jonah was sent by the Lord to preach against that great city. Why? It was because of their wickedness. It was because of their sinfulness. It was because of their rebellion and their wicked and sinful lifestyle. You see, their sin was an abomination in the sight of a holy God. You look at the words of verse number 2 of chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1 and the verse 2. And the command given to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Such was their sin, such was their rejection, such was their rebellion against the word of God and against the law of God. You know, sin always brings the wrath and always brings the condemnation of God. And as a result of this people's sin, God was going to judge them. But God, in his mercy, sent his man to preach to them and to warn them. And sinner, tonight, week after week, month after month, year after year, faithfully from the pulpit of this church, and I'm sure from other places as well, you have heard of your need to be saved. You've been told of your sin. You've been told that before a holy God, you are a sinner. And that sin, if it is not dealt with, will damn your soul in hell. This was a word of judgment to these people. And folks, tonight, the message of judgment for sin is no different. God still judges sin. If you're here tonight without Christ, you're here tonight walking that broad road that leads to hell, then this is a message for you. A message that God will judge your sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, these people, they were sowing the seeds of sin. And one day, if that sin had not been repented of, they would reap the whirlwind of their sin in God's judgment. Sinner, tonight, one day, if you do not turn from your sin, if you do not leave your sin behind, you will reap God's judgment upon your life. For sin, make no mistake about it. Oh, don't think you can reject the gospel all your life and somehow get into heaven some other way and it'll all work out in the end. You know, I'm more and more convinced every day that's what some people think. Especially amongst the Protestant people of our country. Oh, they can turn their back on God. They can have no time for God. They can take a gospel tract and they can throw it on the ground with no thought. Protestant people we're talking about. And they can curse and they can blaspheme God and yet still think that somehow they're going to get to God's heaven. It'll never happen. People think they're good. People think they're upright. They're a good person. They do no wrong to anybody else. They've maybe no enemies in this life. They've lived a good life. And then in the end, they'll just walk into heaven just like everybody else. You see, the truth of salvation tonight, the truth and the teaching of the Word of God tonight is that if you reject Christ in life, He will reject you in death. You will be damned for your own sin. That was the word that the people of Nineveh heard. There was a day of judgment coming, and it was coming very soon. But God in His mercy and God in His long suffering put it off. But that day was coming. And how good God has been to you. How many times have you sat under the preaching of the gospel? How many times have you turned your back on the word of God? How many times have you rebelled against God's word? And yet God tonight is still good to you. His Spirit is striving with you tonight. But remember, Genesis 6 and 3, my Spirit shall not always strive. And the word that you hear tonight, you might never hear it again. That's why there's always an urgency in the matter of salvation. This word that they heard, but Notice as well the warning that they heeded. Verse number 4 of chapter 3, we see Jonah beginning on his journey to Nineveh, entering into the city a day's journey, and crying out this message of warning, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You can almost picture the scene. Here is Jonah going into the city and he's warning the people. Judgment is coming. The wrath of God is going to come. In 40 days, judgment is going to fall. The wrath of God is going to fall. And you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. You need to flee from the wrath that is to come. How did the people react? Here was the man of God preaching the word of God. What was the response? Look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. The people of Nineveh believed God. Here was a city-wide revival. Here was a city which was steeped in sin. Here was a city in all the midst of their wickedness and the midst of their sinfulness. And God stepped into that situation and that those people believed God. Does that not give you heart tonight? Does that not give you encouragement tonight, dear child of God? All we ever hear is of sin. All we ever hear of wickedness. But thank God, in the midst of all the sin, God can step in. I believe in a God of revival. I believe in a God who can still do great things for us. And I don't care how dark the day is. I don't care how despairing people are in their sin. God can still step in to the situation and turn that situation around. God can still take the darkest of sinners and make them into the greatest trophies of grace. Brother Keith has already intimated his prayer for his parents. Thank God he can take someone who's caught up in the false religions of this world and open their eyes to the gospel. Someone who's so deep down into sin, thank God he can lift them up. None too bad, but God can save. As we think of the warning that they heeded, there was a forsaking of sin. That's what you need to do tonight, sinner. You see, you can't live on in your sin and still believe in God. It's either him or it's the world. You need to forsake your sin. You need to turn away from your sin. And you need to heed that warning to flee from the wrath that is coming for your sin. Sinner, tonight it's time to wake up to the great danger that you're in. It's time to wake up to the great need of your heart. Your sin is separating you from God. Your sin, and only your sin, will keep you out of God's heaven. And it's your sin that will one day, if it's not repented of, will damn your soul in hell. That sin needs to be repented of. That sin needs to be forsaken. Let me ask you tonight, are you going to forsake your sin? That's what these people did. They forsook their sinful way of life. They forsook the pleasures of this world. They turned away from their sin. And they believed God. And that's not just a mere head knowledge. People will tell us today they believe in God. But that's not salvation. You can have your faith in many things, but if you don't have your faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for salvation, then it's not faith. It's not saving faith. Faith in a church will never save you. Faith in a man will never save you. Faith in an organization will never save you. It's only faith in Christ. What is it that you're depending on tonight? What is it that you're depending on tonight to get you to heaven? If you're not depending on Christ, if you're not depending on the blood of Christ shed on the cross, then you will never be in heaven. John 14 and verse 6 is a verse that, while it may be simple and often repeated, needs to be often repeated again and again. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Where is your faith tonight? In some organization? Perhaps in some denomination? If your faith is not in Christ, it'll never save your soul. Heed the warning today. Heed that warning that judgment was coming. Prepare to meet thy God. And death is near. Therefore, be ready. Tonight, be saved. Tonight, give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. How will you respond to the gospel? What will you do tonight with Christ as he is offered to us in the gospel? What think ye of Christ? That's the crux. What do you think of Christ tonight? Yes, he's a good man, great man. Oh, you wouldn't be like the Jehovah's Witnesses and deny the deity of Christ. You believe he's God and all the rest of it. But is he your Savior tonight? Have you trusted him for salvation? As the warning has been given once again, how will you respond? Will you be like those people in Nineveh? They believed God. Will you this night turn away from your sin and trust Jesus Christ? Will you this night be saved? I pray by God's grace and by God's help you will. Let's bow in prayer.